have to thank everyone for coming. And as we enter the month of Tammuz, and in advance of the 17th of Tammuz, which initiates the three-week period of Avelus, of mourning for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, I want to talk to you first about Avelus in general. When I say Avelus in general, I mean, Rachmana Litzlan, in the loss of one of our seven relatives, the seven close relatives. And I want to raise two questions with regard to Avelus. Now, in order to appreciate my first question, by way of introduction, generally speaking, halacha puts the emphasis on what we call the action. And this is true for both mitzvot aseh, positive commands, and mitzvot lo taseh. We ask ourselves, what is the ma'aseh mitzvah? What is the act of the mitzvah? We spend a lot of time and we put in a lot of effort and work to define the ma'aseh mitzvah. In the case of a lo taseh, what is the Maisa Avera, the criminal or violation act. So if we take a mitzvah, for example, if I were to talk about shaking a lulav or eating matzah, just to give you two examples, then the mitzvah would be limited and totally focused on the matzah mitzvah. So I would ask, how do you eat the matzah? How much matzah do you have to eat? And so forth and so on. How do you take the lulav? What does the lulav look like? And in order to achieve our goal of a matzah mitzvah. But then we take what I call the exception to the rule. And let's see if you can follow my logic. We have a principle called Simchas Yontif, a mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha, to rejoice on a Yom Tov. Where's the ma'aseh mitzvah? So first let me quote to you a famous principle which appears in many places in Shas, and that is, ein simcha ela b'basar v'yayin. That means we have to eat meat and drink wine. Now in this particular case, Would it be fair to say that eating meat is a ma'aseh mitzvah or drinking wine is a ma'aseh mitzvah? Does that sound odd to you? It sounds very odd to me. I wouldn't say that eating meat is a ma'aseh mitzvah in the same way that taking a lulav or eating matzah is a ma'aseh mitzvah. Does anybody want to help me out over here? How is this different, this particular case of Simchas Yontif, than any other case of a ma'aseh mitzvah? Yeah?
Well, as a vegetarian, I say.
Okay, but do you drink wine?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay,
and
good.
I eat fish.
So we'll bring you. We'll bring
you. It's a suggestion. I mean, the ma'aseh mitzvah is to rejoice, simcha, and so to eat meat and to drink wine is custom.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a custom. You're 99% there. I just looked at that last one percentage. I would not define eating meat or drinking wine as a custom, because the Gemara tells us that ein simcha ela b'basar v'yayin. But it's what? How would you define it? Anybody? Yeah?
It's just a means to an
end. Excellent. That's what I was looking for. It's a means to an end. And what this means is the following. And I heard this many times from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. In 90% of the cases, maybe 99% of the cases of mitzvahs, there's an identity between the ma'aseh mitzvah and the kiyum mitzvah, meaning the action of the mitzvah is identical with the accomplishment of the mitzvah. There are very few exceptions to that rule. Simchas Yontif is one of them, in which the ma'aseh mitzvah is only a means to an end. The kiyum mitzvah is beyond the ma'aseh mitzvah. The ma'aseh mitzvah will set me up, hopefully, if I'm not a vegetarian, by eating this meat, I achieve simcha. But the achievement of simcha is the kiyum mitzvah. That's where I obtain, or I fulfill my mitzvah. Now, given that introduction, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. If we spoke about simcha, and that could have been very relevant Shavuos time or before that Pesach time. Let's talk about Avelus, which is going to be very relevant to us in just a few weeks, just in about 2.5 weeks. Now, the Rambam has codified the laws of Avelus, and in the 5th chapter, he gives us a list of 11 different prohibitions that apply to an Avel. Now, again, let me emphasize this. The Avel that the Rambam has in mind is the Avel who has lost one of his close relatives. And the Rambam has a list of 11 Isurim. For example, the Rambam tells you that the Avel is not allowed to wash his body. The Avel is enjoined from wearing shoes, and so forth and so on. The Rambam calculates 11 Isurim. Yet, if you were to ask me, how do I classify Avelus in terms of mitzvahs aseh or mitzvahs lo aseh, the Rambam, quite surprisingly, opens up Hilchas Avelus by saying, mitzvahs aseh lehis abel al meso. There is a mitzvah to be misabel, to be in a state of Avelus. Well, I don't get it. The Rambam is listing 11 different prohibitions. So if you were to ask me to categorize Avelus under one of two possible categories, either mitzvahs aseh or mitzvahs lo aseh, where would you categorize it? A lo aseh. That would be my intuitive answer, because there are 11 different Isurim here. And yet, paradoxically, the Rambam calls Avelus a mitzvahs aseh. Would it be helpful at this point to introduce the concept of a means to an end? Is there anyone who could help me out on this point? What is that mitzvah which the Rambam defines as a positive mitzvah avelus? For example, the avel refrains from washing his body or from wearing shoes. Correct? So he has avoided a lotas, and yet the Rambam calls it a mitzvah saseh, lehis avel. What would you say? Again, I'm going to ask you for your help again, because you're on target. What's your name?
Ayelet.
I have an Ayelet too in my family. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Well, what was the language you used before?
Means
to an end. Can we possibly apply this distinction between a means and an end that we did in Simcha, where we said that eating basar is only a means to an end to achieve Simcha, and superimpose that, or can we say graft that onto Avelus and say that Avelus is also a means to an end? Exactly. When we avoid wearing shoes or washing our body, that's only a means to an end. There's nothing inherently wrong, there's nothing objectionable with wearing shoes in the case of an avel, or washing his body. But this is a means to an end. And what is the end? If in the case of Simcha on one extreme polar, the end is Simcha Salev, then what would be in the other polar extreme, the Kiyum HaMitzvah Avelus? It would be what? Avelus Shevelev. It would be an experience of Avelus. Now, you and I might ask the following question. Well, let every individual, in a very subjective way, decide for him or her how to achieve that Avelus Shevelev. And here the halakha steps up and says, no, we're going to objectify those prohibitions which an avel is obliged to live up to in order to achieve avelus shebelev. We're not going to say, well, let every individual decide, well, what's good for me? You know, what should I be avoiding? Maybe if I take a walk up the block and it's a nice day out, that would bring me to the state of simcha, and therefore it's antithetical to avelus shebelev. No, we're not going to allow it for subjective, but the halacha is going to come with objective terms. How many different isurim did the Rabbanon carve out and objectify in order to reach the kiyum ha-mitzvah of avelus shebelev? And what's the magic answer according to the Rambam? 11 different Isurim. So the Avel, in order to achieve the goal of Kiyum Mitzvahs Avelus, which is the Rambam's radical Chiddush that Avelus is a mitzvah, to be in a state of Avelus, to be in a state of mourning, we need 11 different ways, means, to achieve that end, that goal of the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Avelus. So we have to abstain from 11 different actions, activities, and then the Halacha recognizes that we can come to the state of Kiyum Shavuot. If this be the case, then we could shed a light on a very, very difficult piece of Gemara in Masechta Moed Katan, which you'll see on the first page if you want to look at it, but you don't have to look at it now. I'll supply you with all that you need, hopefully. And the Gemara wants to know what happens if there's a conflict between Avelus and Simcha, between Regel, between a Yontif, and Avelus, Nevach, a person's relative died right before Yontif. I remember one of my students lost his father. It was he passed away in L.A. right before Sukkot. The body was being brought for burial to Beit Shemesh, what we call Eretz HaChayim, on Friday, Erev Sukkot. Suffice it to tell you that we waited until 45 minutes before sunset, because there was trouble getting out of the airport with the body. We buried, I remember him very well, this person in a jiff, so that we could immediately after the burial get back to Yerushalayim on time for Yontif. What happens to Avelus in this case? The man enters into, this is a Talmud of mine, into Yontif. He has a mitzvah of Simcha, and at the same time, he just buried his father, Rachmana Litzlan. He has a mitzvah of Avelus. And the Gemara says a head-on collision. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that in this balance between these two mitzvahs, Simchas HaRegel is primary, and it trumps the mitzvah of Avelus, because Simcha is a mitzvah derabim, and Avelus is only a mitzvah diyachid. Again, I'm not going into all those details, but Rav Soloveitchik was bothered by this. And he asked the question, why is this an irreconcilable contradiction? Does it say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that on Yontif you have to wear shoes? So the man is wearing sandalim or sneakers on Yontif because he's being mekayim the mitzvah of Avelus. Wherein lies the contradiction? So you'll tell me the following: well, for Yontif he has to eat meat and drink wine. Well, I have news for you if you don't know this. The Yemenites, for example, have a whole seder during Shiva, how many cups of wine they drink on each day. There's no prohibition in joining me from drinking wine during Avelus, so that an Avel could drink as much wine as he possibly desires to drink. So again, you take a look at the 11 Isurim that the Rambam enumerates of Avil. You take a look, on the other hand, the mitzvah of Yontif, which is Basar and Yayin, and guess what? I'm going to ask you in a funny sort of way, how many contradictions are there? Zippo, no contradictions. This year is in memory of Frida Bas Esther, and she should have an Aliyah's Neshama. So why does the Gemara postulate that we have to decide here between Avelus and Yontif? There is no sphere between the two. And what's the answer, my friends? The contradiction between Avelus and Yontif is not in the external action. The external action is only a means to the end. The end in the case of Yontif is what? Simcha Shebelev. The end in the case of Avelus is Avelus Shebelev. That's the contradiction. There's no way that you can integrate both Avelus and Yontif in one heart. These are mutually exclusive. And here you have a head-on collision. You have to make a decision which mitzvah is greater than which mitzvah. Hence, we come to the conclusion that all the Isurim, all the prohibitions of an Avel are meant to bring the Avel into a state of Avelus. That he can't do in Simcha. Even if he's going to drink wine and eat meat, he still could not possibly fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha and the mitzvah of Avelus simultaneously. It's one or the other. And that's what the Gemara addresses, concluding that Regel, that Yontif and Simcha, trumps the mitzvah of Avelus. But here I have a problem. Because In the light of Rav Soloveitchik's presentation, I don't know what to do with the Ramban. The Ramban, Nachmanides, who was one of the greatest Rishonim that we have, almost a thousand years ago, the Ramban concludes that with regard to Regel, a Yontif, there is Avelus. Which Avelus? This is called Dvarim Shebitzino. Again, if I had a whiteboard here, I would write this on the board, but let's just translate it loosely into English. Dvarim Shebitzino means matters of privacy. One of the various 11 Isurim is a relationship, an intimacy between a husband and wife. That has to be observed, even on Yontif, in the case of someone who buried his dead. And here I ask the following question. How could it be, if we accept the premise that all of the 11 prohibitions were organized, were engineered in order to bring a person into the Kiyum HaMitzvah, fulfill his mitzvah Avelus Shebelev? That's premise number one. Premise number two, on Regel, on a Yontif, the mitzvah is Simcha, which replaces the mitzvah of Avelus. How could there possibly be an Iser Avel on Yontif? I mean, Yontif is a mitzvah of Simcha. And that precludes, or shall we say, undermines the mitzvah of Avelus. How could there be any vestige whatsoever, even Bitzin, or even in privacy, of an Iser Avel on a day in which a Jew is obligated in which mitzvah? Simcha. Are you with me? We're talking about Yontif. We're talking about a mitzvah Simcha. So you're going to talk about Avelus? How can it be Avelus? Avelus is only engineered in order to bring a person to the antithetical state of Avelus, Shebelev, that inner experience emotionally of grief. Well, there is no room for the mitzvah of Avelus on Yontif. How then could Ramban impose Isurim on an Avel during the Regel? Let me give you another example of what I have in mind. And you'll see it in the pages. There's a machlokes haposkim about tefillin. What's the case? Now again, you may know that for most of us here, I'm talking about the males and your husbands or any males that you know, we don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But there are those, and there are more paskins that you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Some of you may be familiar with that minhag, not here, hopefully, because anyone who wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed here is going to get the tefillin wrapped around his neck. But in Chutz Laaretz, we wear tefillin, not me, because I don't have that minhag, but many Jews, Ashkenazic Jews, will wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the question is, what happens in an overlap between Yontif and Avelus? And in this case, the Avel, at least on the first day of his Avelus, is not allowed to wear tefillin. And yet, he's obligated to wear tefillin because his minhag is to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And if you would ask me, I would say for sure he should be wearing tefillin. The Iser of wearing tefillin on the first day of Avelus is a reflection of one of the 11 Isurim of an Avel, which, according to Rav Soloveitchik, is only a means to an end to achieve the Kiyum HaMitzvah of what? Everyone, Avelus Shebelev. Well, there's no Avelus Shebelev, it's Yontif, and yet there are poskim who say that this Avel on Yontif, that the words get stuck to the palate of my mouth, is enjoined from wearing tefillin. How could that be? He can't wear tefillin. Why not? Because if he wears tefillin, it'll bring him to a state of simcha. Well, that's what his mitzvah is. His mitzvah is simcha. He has no mitzvah avelus. Here's another example of an isur of avelus that applies outside of the parameters of simcha and avelus shebelev. Hence, we draw the following conclusion. See if you can follow my thesis. Avelus is really made up of two different categories. One category is what we call a means to an end. And that means that there's nothing inherently wrong with this Isur. It's just that it will undermine his state of Avelus Shebelev. There we're talking about a means to an end. Then there's another category of prohibitions in Avel. And that has nothing to do with a means to an end. Those Isurim apply simply because he's an Avel. The very fact that he has experienced the loss of one of his relatives that generates certain Isurim. For example, according to the Ramban, it generates an Isur Dvarim Shebitzino, private matters, even on a Regel, even on a Yontif. And that's how we paskin the Shulchan Aruch. That must be an Iser unto itself, an Iser b'toras atzmo. It has nothing to do with Avel Shebelev. It's simply the fact that you are an Avel, you lost one of your close relatives, never. Now you have these Isurim. And one of the sources that I quote here is the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah. And here we have an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. Yes, please.
Can I ask you, does that second category have a name?
I call it Iser Avelus Bifnei Atzmo. Again, if I had a whiteboard, I'd write this on the whiteboard. That's my request for the OU. If we get a... Oh, you do have one. Alright, so you know what? I don't know if at this... I have till 10 o'clock, am I right?
Yes.
So I don't know if I'm going to have time to do this, but we can try it. Anyway, Iser Avel Bifnei Atzmo. Okay, this means that in the terminology of Lamdus, you know, theoretical conceptual learning, it's a shame Avel. A person has the status of an Avel. He has no kiyum of mitzvahs Avelus because it's Yagdiv, and his mitzvah is that of Simcha, not Avel Shebelev, but nevertheless he's still enjoined from certain activities because those activities have nothing to do with the Kiyum Avelus as a mitzvah. They are simply Isurim. So now when I submit to you that Avelus is a Kiyum Mitzvah, that's only half the story. Avelus is a Kiyum Mitzvah, and that's called Avel Shebelev. And in that context, the prohibitions of Avel are just a means to an end to achieve the Avel Shebelev. But Avelus is also a lotase. It's also a do not. And there's certain activities that are antithetical to an Avel, simply because he's an Avel, even without the kiyum of Avelus Shebelev. So we now have a list of two of them, but I want to add a third to the list. The two that we have on the list is Dvarim Shebetzina, private matters according to the Ramban, which are noeg as an Iser Avel, despite the fact that his mitzvah is simcha because it's regal and not Avel Shebelev, but he is an Avel insofar as the reality is he buried one of his close relatives, therefore he's enjoined from Dvarim Shebetzina. The second example that we're giving is going to be the discussion about the Iser Bifnei Atzmo of Avelus that applies in the case of tefillin, that an Avel is enjoined from wearing tefillin on the first day of his Avelus. Avelus is something that has gradations to it. It goes from very intense down, lower and lower and lower. So the most intense Avelus is the first day. And on the first day of Avelus, the Avel is enjoined from wearing tefillin. It's a whole machlokas, which is not for us. What happens when he comes back from burial? And can he put on tefillin? But many poskim will say the whole day, the first day of Avelus is out, no tefillin. And now we have poskim who are going to apply that during the regal, on Yontif. He is now commanded in the mitzvah of Simcha, and yet he's not allowed to wear tefillin. Tefillin itself is an Iser Avel B'toras Atzmo in and of itself. And now I want to quote to you the Rambam and give you a third example of an Iser Avel. And that is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. An Avel is enjoined from studying Torah. So Tosfos writes, and you'll see it here on page 15, Tosfos writes in Masechta Moed Katan, that's not an all-inclusive prohibition. There are many parts of the Torah which will not bring a person to Simcha, but rather to the opposite. There's Kinos, there is, Kinos means Megillas Eicha, there are Dvarim Haroim Shebi Yirmiyah, the certain prophecies of Jeremiah, which are very depressing. And all those, or Eov, are not included in the Iser Avel. Why? Because Tosfos assumes that the Iser Talmud Torah to an Avel is what? A means to an end. We want to make sure that he's not besimcha, but rather he's in a state of what? Avelus. Well, which part of the Torah will bring him to Simcha? Pikudi Hashem Yeshua V'samche Lev. And which part of the Torah study will not bring him to Simcha? If it's not antithetical to Avelus, those parts that are depressing, they can be studied during Avelus. And many of the posts can rely on Tosfos, but the Rambam has an unqualified Iser. The Rambam derives the prohibition for an Avel to learn Torah from a pasuk, and he says it applies unqualified. There are no parts of the Torah. Now, what's the problem here? If Avelus is simply a means to an end, if the Surya Avel have to be avoided because they undermine his Avel Shebelev, well, why not study Dvarim HaRav Shebeyirmi, etc.? The answer is that Talmud Torah, according to the Rambam, is an Isur B'Toras Atzmo. It's the Lotaseh part of Avel, it's not the Aseh part of Avel. It's not the Kiyum of Avel Shebelev, because if that be the case, the Rambam would accept the opinion of Tosis that we could be lenient with regard to certain depressing parts of Torah. I use that word depressing loosely, don't quote me on it. I'll deny I ever said it, but those parts of the Torah that will not bring him to Simcha. And now, having created that structure, which is a two-part structure to understand the laws of Avelus. One is the Mitzvah Seh, which means the Surei Avel as a means to achieve Avelus Shebelev. The other is the Iser Lotasen Avelus, which are prohibitions. We gave three examples of them, but maybe there are more, that are prohibited to an Avel simply because he's an Avel, irrelevant to or regardless of the Kiyum Shebelev. Separate Surei Avel because he buried his dead. And now I'm ready for the main part of our Shia today. We've been talking about Avelus. Yeah, please.
The mitzvah of kibbutz after age, in case, you know, him dying, and the example that you gave us about right before Yom Tov, you know, the person had to be buried. What about that mitzvah of kibbutz after age? Is with Shiva and etc. during the does that not come into play?
I'm not sure what you mean. What would be the problem of Kibbutz Avim? He just buried his parent, Rachman al Tzlan, and now
the sitting of the Shiva is not part of that mitzvah kibbutz after Avim. You sit in Shiva for yourself, not out of respect for a parent.
That's complicated, but the Rambam seems to assume that at least Nichum Avelim is Kibud Avaim, meaning that the Avel has to receive the Menachamim as a Kiyum of Kibud Avaim. And, you know, I'm not sure where you're taking me with this. Is it, you know, are you saying that this is a question on what I said or a proof to what I said? I'm not sure.
No, it's not clear to me. Like, for example, the example you gave is about this person's father.
Oh, you're asking. Let me see if I can understand your question. Meaning, if he buries his father right before Yom Tov, and now Avelus is completely eliminated,
right.
So where's the Kibbutz? So again, very complicated question, because if the Avelus never began, then he will sit Shiva after Yom Tov. So that'll be his Kibbutz. Now, in other cases where, let's say, he didn't even begin his. So if he didn't begin his Avelus. These are complicated laws. I'm just afraid in the few minutes that I have, because again, what we're really studying today is the month of Tammuz and the 3 weeks. So let me get to that. First of all, I want to point out to you that Tosfos in Masechta Yevamos, which again you'll see here on page 16, has a categorization called Avelus Yeshana. Very interesting phrase here, okay? How would you translate Yeshana?
Old
Avelus. He's referring to the Avelus of the 3 weeks, which culminates on Tisha B'Av, in the highest level of Avelus, most intense. And that's called Avelus Yeshana. Why is it called Old Avelus? Correct, we're mourning over something that happened 2,000 years ago, the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to Avelus Chadasha, which is new Avelus, in the case where he buried the dead.
Even before
Tumerabim. Correct. So now the question is, what's the difference between the two? And Tosis postulates the following. The difference between the two is going to be something called Erusin. Now let me just give you a quick, very, very quick overview. When a man marries a woman, there are two parts to that marriage. The first part is called Erusin. And at that point, there's a kinyanishus, which means that she's a full-fledged married woman. But they don't live together for a period of time. Again, back today, we do everything together. But in the old days, usually it was a 12-month period of time culminating in what's called nisuin. Nisuin means when he takes her into his house. And that's a chuppah. Chuppah symbolizes that. And we have to understand the following. Tosfos says, and the Ramah actually paskins like this, that there's a fundamental difference between Avelus Chadasha for one of the relatives and Avelus Yeshana. In the case of Avelus Chadasha for one of the relatives, then Erisin is prohibited. But in the case of Avelus Yeshana, Erisin is permissible. In fact, it goes so far as permitting Erisin, although I've never seen this happen, on Tisha B'Av itself. Butala Ares Isha B'Tisha B'Av, and that part of marriage is okay. Now, why would Nisuin be prohibited on Tisha B'Av, or for that matter, from Rosh Chodesh Av, whereas Erisin is permissible? So Tosfos explains that Erisin is... Erisin is not a Maisa Simcha. All Simcha, as far as Chasa V'Kala, is delayed until Nisuin. It's only when the couple can consummate the marriage, he takes her into the chuppah, he brings her into his home, that's Simcha. Erisin is not Simcha. Now, today you may know that they make Sudas Erisin. You've heard of it? You know, they have a whole party and so forth. So that's not really strictly according to Halacha. According to strict Halacha, there's no such thing as Su'udah and Simcha until Nisuin. And here's the question I want to ask you. I can understand why Erisin should be allowed during the 3 weeks, during Avelus Yeshana, because Erisin is not a Maisa Simcha. You saw my ex over here. It's not a Maisa Simcha. Nisuin will be prohibited because that's a Maisa Simcha. That's antithetical to Avelus. But my question is, in the case of Avelus Chadasha, Tosfos says that Erisin is prohibited. Even Erisin. In other words, a man during the Shiva is not allowed to be Ma'aris and Isha. Well, wait a second. If we're saying that Erisin is not a Maisa Simcha, so what's the problem with Erisin during Avelus? I'm talking about Avelus Chadasha. And what's the answer again? The same answer that we gave over and over again. Right? Are you able to read that? I don't know. You know, if you can't read it, then I don't know what I gained here, and I'm sorry to have imposed myself on you. But we said that Avelus, in the case of Avelus Yeshana, divides up into two. We had the Mitzvah Saseh, in which the Isurei Avel are just a means to an end, and then we found, and we listed three cases of Isurei Avel B'Toras Atzmo, where even if he's Chayiv in Simcha, and he has no Avelus Shevaleh because it's Yantiv, nevertheless he still is enjoined from these actions, because these are actions that are Avelus B'Toras Atzmo. The Isur Erisin then would fit into what category if that applies to an Avel, meaning an Avelus Chadasha? It would have to be what? Help me out here. An Isur Avel B'Toras Atzmo. In other words, an Avel is enjoined from any sort of marriage, even if that stage and that level of marriage has nothing to do with Simcha. Well, if that be the case, then what happens in Avelus Yeshana? Tosfos says Avelus Yeshana Mutalaris Isha Afilu B'Tisha B'Av. Why? I'm waiting for an answer. That the Iser Avelus, in the case of Avelus Yeshana, has only one dimension to it. It does not have two categories. There is no such thing as an Iser Avel Bifnei Atzmo when it comes to the 3 weeks to Avelus Yeshana and Tisha B'Av. It exhausts itself in one category, and that is a means to an end in order to achieve the goal of Avelus Shebelev. What we're entering into, as of Shavasa V'Talmas for Ashkenazim, or for Sfaradim from Rosh Chodesh Av, is a period of Kiyum Mitzvahs Avelus, Avelus Yeshana of the Churban Abayis. It is purely, and it exhausts itself, in a Kiyum Mitzvah. The entire gamut, the entire constellation of Hilchas Avelus with regard to Yeshana for Churban is meant to bring us to the mitzvah of kiyum shevalev, of avelus in our heart. There is no separate thing of a shame avel. Nobody buried one of his close relatives. That would be avelus chadasha. But in avelus yeshana, the entire gamut, the whole constellation exhausts itself in kiyum mitzvahs avelus. All the laws that will apply to avelus will be geared towards one goal, and that is to bring a person into the mood of kiyum avelus shebelev.
Just don't allow women to shop.
What do you say?
Just don't allow women to shop will be an avelus.
Yeah, that's true. But I would ask you the following question. We say that the Rambam prohibits the study of Talmud Torah even in avelus, even in Dvarim HaRoyim Shebiyirmiyah. Well, what's going to happen when I open up the Rambam, and I want you to guess even without opening up the Rambam, in Hilchos Tainios, when the Rambam talks about this period of time of Avelus Yeshana for Churban, what kind of Issur Talmud Torah will it be? Will it be all-inclusive, or will it be limited? It's going to be limited. And sure enough, I open up the Rambam, and the Rambam says that during this period of time, culminating on Tisha B'Av, we are enjoined from studying Torah, with the exception of Dvarim HaRoyim, with Kinnis and Echa and Eov and so forth. Because again, here there is no category of Iser Avel Bifnei Atzmo. Nobody is an Avel in the technical sense. All the whole matrix of laws are geared to bring us into a state of Avelus Shebelev. But learning and studying these parts of the Torah, which again, as I call them loosely, are depressing, that's not a steer. That doesn't undermine my Avelus Shebelev. On the contrary, maybe there should be a mitzvah on Tisha B'Av of studying Kinnis, as my Rebbe used to teach us Kinnis from 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon nonstop. This is Avelus. Erisin? There's no Iser Erisin during this period of time. Erisin is not a Maisa Simcha. It's not antithetical to the state of Avelus. Erisin is just a kinyan. It's a document. It's an external transaction, if you will. But there's no simcha until Nisuin. Hence, even though there's going to be an Iser of Erisin during Avelus Chadasha for one of the relatives, that's because there's such a matrix here, a constellation which is called an Iser Avel Bifnei Atzmo, that has no application in the case of Avelus Yeshana, because Avelus Yeshana exhausts itself, as we said, in Avelus Shebelev. There's no steer, there's no contradiction. Erisin does not undermine Avelus Shebelev. If this be the case, then let me ask you the following question. On Tisha B'Av, which is Avelus Yeshana, paramount, would a person be allowed to wear tefillin? Well, an Avel is not allowed to wear tefillin on the first day. And in the case of Tisha B'Av, that's my first day of Avelus, it's the most intense Avelus. I should be enjoined from tefillin. Do you ladies know of anyone who doesn't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av? Everyone wears tefillin, whether it's in the morning or the afternoon, but you have to wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. You got to trust me on that, ladies. There is no Iser tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Why not? The answer is that the Iser tefillin is not antithetical to the Kiyum Avelus Shebelev. The Iser tefillin comes under the category of an Iser Avel Bifnei Atzmo. It's a separate Iser by virtue of the fact that he's an Avel. He buried one of his close relatives. But there's nothing parallel in Avelus Yeshana for Churban. There is no Iser Avel B'Toras Atzmo. We only have to judge what actions and what activities would undermine his Avelus Shebelev. And we say that even if he's wearing tefillin, he could still achieve the Avelus Shebelev. Hence, there will be no Iser Avel during this period of time, because the Iser Avel is only geared towards the goal of Avelus Shebelev. If this be the case, all that I've said until now answers my first question. Now I'm ready for my second question. Is Avelus objective or subjective? In the case of Avelus Chadasha, the halacha has very hardcore laws and regulations and prohibitions and a framework that is absolutely objective. The halacha doesn't rely on anybody, especially because Avelus Chadasha for one of the relatives is an Iser Avel Bifnei Atzmo. It's not just Kiyum Shebelev. So a person will come along and will say, you know what? I can take a bath during Shiva, and I still can achieve Avelus Shiva Lev. No. The halacha doesn't see that. The halacha objectifies those actions which are antithetical to the Kiyum Avelus Shiva Lev. And yet, I have a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Tainus, which at the face of it makes no sense. And the Mishnah says, Mishenichnas Av, Mimatim B'Simcha. The Mishnah tells me that we have to diminish Simcha and Av. What does that mean? It's interesting, the Rambam codifies this, and yet he doesn't give us anything, nothing solid, nothing that we can objectify, nothing that we can sink our teeth in. And he goes on to say that Nogim Av, that the people have a minog, a custom to avoid what we call Simcha Shel, Binyan Shel Simcha, they don't build buildings for the sake of Simcha. They avoid new plantings, you know, out in the orchard and so forth and so on. But this is all minhag. This is all what I call a spontaneous grassroots movement. How do we achieve avelus on avelus yeshana? Here we find something amazing that we never found in halacha before: a subjective element. The entire gamut of avelus with regard to Churban is subjective. It means, how do you achieve that state of avelus shebelev? And here I want to quote to you an amazing Gemara in the Sechta Bava Kamma. The Gemara speaks about a certain Amora by the name of Rabbi Zera, who, Rabbi Lezer Zeira, and they found him that he was wearing total black. Everything from head to toe, including the shoelaces on his shoes, were black shoelaces. And they asked him why. And he said, because of my state of avelus. I am depressed over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara says, they checked him out for something called yuara. Yura means gaiva, means conceit. He's proving, he's showing, he's demonstrating that his level of avelus supersedes that of everyone else in his generation. The Jews at that time wore white shoelaces, not black shoelaces. Then this fellow, Elazar Zera, chose to wear black shoelaces. So they checked him out, and guess what they found? That he was genuine, that he was for the real, he was the real thing, as we say in Coca-Cola terms. And he was the real thing, meaning his he was absolutely sincere. His avelus was so intense and so profound that he couldn't get himself to wear any white on his clothing. That is subjective avelus. I know we have to end, so I want to conclude on page 18, if you have it, with the Rambam. The Rambam says the following, that if a person before Tisha B'Av, you know, what we call the Suda Mafsekas, the last Suda, wants to get himself in the mood for Tisha B'Av, there's certain things that he should do. But then the Rambam says, Zohi Midas Kol Ha'am. That's the general minog amongst the people. Abul Chassidim Rishonim, the old Chassidim, this is even before the Baal Shem Tov, they had a different minog. Erev Tisha B'Av, Hoyu Mevi'im Lo Li Adam Levado Pascha Reva. He was sitting alone, and they brought him. They brought him a piece of hard bread, and he would dip it into water. He would sit himself between Tanur and Kirayim, between the two stoves, and he would eat, and he would cry. Nowhere in Hilchos Avelus does the Rambam mention these terms. And he says, Kazer roi l'chachamim lasos. And this is what the Chachamim would advocate. Interesting, the Rambam is talking about a kind of Avelus, an expression, a manifestation of grief, which is totally subjective. It's not objective. The halacha doesn't require this. Nowhere does it say in halacha that we have to sit down on the hot floor between two hot places and eat pascha reva b'melach and shorah b'mayim and b'chiyah and shmama. breaking down and crying. Nowhere in Hilchas Avelus do we find this. The answer is that we're talking not about Avelus Chadasha, where the Torah objectifies the laws of Avelus. We're talking about Avelus Yeshana for Churban Abayis, and the entire matrix and the constellation of the laws that govern this is subjective. So even though for you and I it's enough that we do X, but if you belong to those pious people who feel a more profound sense of Avelus and mourning, then your expression and your manifestation of Avelus goes beyond, and it reaches the level described by the Rambam of the Chassidim Rishon. I just want to end with a tefillah, with a prayer. Yehi ratzon may it be His will that we'll be zocha to understand the Torah, to analyze it on the deepest level, that we should merit that the Avelus, which is a kiyum shebelev of churban, should terminate and should be replaced by true, genuine simcha at the time of the binyan beis hamikdash b'meir v'yameinu.